I don't know if you can notice, but I get high anxiety in terms of like meeting new people and just like
Oh,
being in
Matt,
new.
I was thinking about that because I've done a lot of podcasts for through boxing, and then I have to commentate on other fights. They're like, "Oh, we're bringing in this champ to commentate." And it's so funny because I had social anxiety like a mofo,
Yeah.
but I just am used to it now.
Actually, how does that commentary work? How does it work? Because I've only seen it like, I don't know if there are different types of commentaries, like, MMAs where, there are people cheering and there's like a proper
Yeah.
desk of people like, commentating live while the action is happening. But
Yeah,
is that the
I mean,
kind of commentary?
similar. It's really fun to sit. You're a fighter, and you know a lot about it. It's really fun to sit there and watch other people do it when you yourself are doing it too, and you get to kind of talk about it and not be the one in the ring, being criticized. Not criticized, but you know what I mean. So, it's fun, but we did it for our house shows. So, with boxing and MMA too, they have like club shows. They're called
Yeah.
white collar shows. And each gym has their own. Maybe they're for charity and they have just gym members, or maybe I did one that was police officers versus firefighters.
Whoa, like for real?
Yeah, and they fight each
Whoa.
other. Yeah.
Do they have like beef with each other? Like, oh, you're police and,
They kind
kind
of do sometimes. Like, actually, it's pretty funny.
of.
My first fight, I joined up kind of with the I'm in Brooklyn, so I joined up with the NYPD and like kind of was in
Whoa.
NYPD for a day, and that I fought with them.
Whoa.
And they really do have beef with. We fought London. We fought they flew over from London, but they know each other and they do have beef with each other. They talk a lot of shit.
Know what's there to be have a beef about. Like,
Yeah,
they're
you
the
would think
same
they would have
heroes.
camaraderie. Yeah, exactly. They're all heroes. They should have camaraderie. And but no, it's
That's
it's
really funny.
yeah, I know it. I just because I wasn't one, I just was kind of in the background laughing at them, I guess. I
Yeah.
don't know. Yeah, it's
Well,
funny.
actually, what ha like when you're in the commentary seat, do you ever get like, when it relating back to like your social anxiety, it must be like even more heightened because for me, it's just like a one-on-one conversation and we get used to it, it's, it starts to feel more like a natural conversation as time goes on. But like with you, it's kind of like, there are other people in the crowd probably listening, and there's also the people in the ring who's probably listening to you literally criticizing their actions and, kind of unfiltered broadcast of what's actually happening. So do you ever get like, like, oh my gosh, what if I get, what if I say the wrong shit or like it's awful or I make a mis I don't know. If I blurt out something like
Well,
I
it's
can't take back.
I have respect for anyone that steps in the ring to fight. It takes a lot of guts. And so, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. It's just the reality of it, especially in the club shows. And I try to keep it positive, and I'm kind of a sarcastic person.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I watch myself, I won't lie. Like,
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I
I'm
mean,
like,
you
oh,
always
I'm gonna
gotta
say
do when
that.
you're the one speaking, You just gotta watch your mouth. Because, like,
Yeah, exactly.
it's like you don't always mean every single thing you say. Like, sometimes I start to like say stuff that I don't mean. I wish I could
Yeah.
take back just to like fill the silence or like because I feel awkward or I don't know, I just feel compelled to say something, and it's not necessarily something that I'm proud of all the time,
Yeah.
So
It's
yeah,
like the, oh, I used the wrong word to describe that. I did
yeah, or
not mean
like the
that.
wrong analogy, wrong example, the list can go on, but
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I do try to watch my mouth as well. I think I'm pretty sarcastic as well myself. It's just like I do get quite cynical at times with things. Like,
yeah, don't make it. Right. Yeah, and try it. That in like personal training too. People want positivity all the time.
Oh yeah,
and they don't want it, but you should bring it, right? Like people are using that that hour when you're training them or whatever it might be. You want to bring a positive energy. So again, you know, I bring my sarcasm to it, but I watch it a little bit, just make sure I'm not, you know, being too dark, you know.
I actually do have a short, like, I mean, just to put things into context, I'm not an athletic person by any means. Like, I occasionally like dance in my room and stuff, but like, it's nothing.
I saw you dancing.
Thank you. Yeah, it's nothing close. Thank you.
I saw your moves.
It's nothing close to being athletic. Like, I stalked you on Instagram just briefly moments before we got hopped on this call. And it's like hardcore, you know, I can see you personal training, you know, and I do have a bit of experience just getting trained by a personal trainer just for a bit myself, just to try things out, you know. And I just had a hellish time, you know. It's not the workout.
Did you feel overwhelmed by it? Like, yeah. What am I doing here?
And also, well, not so much like, what am I doing here? Because I, you know, I signed up for it. I made up my mind to like really dedicate. But actually the personal trainer that I got assigned to was actually quite like emanated a lot of negative energy for me. And I don't think that's what contributed to the negative experience that I had. But
yeah,
it was like borderline screaming at me, you know, like
oh my gosh.
Yeah. I felt it was overwhelming in that sense.
That is, I take everybody as they are, because, you know, my friend says this, actually, I'm thinking of her. She says, there's an athlete in everybody. Like, I take everybody as they are. I never want to overwhelm people, because I want to promote you were there to do something positive for yourself and learn. So why would you scream at somebody? That sounds horrible.
Also, like, they gotta understand that, you know, my core muscle is not at the same buff core muscle that they have. So I can't hold on with this plank for as long as they can. And, you know, I feel bad. I feel bad when I can't hold on. And like,
well, it's all learning. You know, I was an athlete growing up, and I'm really tall and athletic, like you say, but I've been really out of shape too. So at one point I'm in my 30s now. I was really wild in my 20s, and I played music too. And and late nights and
alcohol.
Wild. Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, that's,
you gotta have that kind of phase, you know.
Yeah, so have. And you know, it was punk rock, it just all like, it's the scene, you know. So I've been really out of shape and had to get back in shape too. And I actually really, I would go to, and I'm a big person, and at that point I weighed like 200 pounds, over 200 pounds. So I would go to group classes, and I always wanted to try boxing too. I would go, it made me feel horrible. I'm big. I just don't fit in the space allotted to me. And they're yelling at me. I can't do it. I can't keep up with everybody. It does make you feel horrible. So I guess I have that perspective. Whereas I do see other trainers that have never really been through that. They've always just been a great athlete, and they don't know what it's like to
be
awkward
on the other side of the, you know, of the fence or whatever.
Yeah, to feel just awkward in your space. And well, for me, that was how I felt anyway.
Well, what made you want to go on with boxing though, if that was kind of the first initial experience that you had with it?
That's a good question. I always dabbled in it. I guess I kept going back to it. So I finally hit, I so previous life, music, also doing accounting in my day life. And I was really unhappy. So I started running, just for my mental health. I started running around the park here and I got good at running around the park. I was able to complete, it's at the time it was like 5 miles. And I needed something to like keep me going. I was like, okay, I'm bored with this. And I called my friend. He's like, I said, I want to be a boxer. Or I just, you know, I want to have a boxing match. Yeah, I was just like, I want to be a boxer. I was running and I was doing good. And he said, I show up at, you know, gave me 275 Marcus Garvey at 5:30 p.m.
I'll really give you cryptic. The good stuff.
Yeah, it was so cryptic. That's how it was. I'm like, okay, ask for Nate. So I went, it was really like a hole in the wall. And like, I walked in, like, I want to be a boxer. They probably thought it was hilarious. Like, I give this girl a week. But I stayed and I got,
wow,
my ass beat at first, but I did stay.
That's awesome.
How
was the first week, if you could describe, like, was it hellish? Was it like, you know, like literal grit, like I'm gonna get through this? Or was it like actually quite pleasant and enjoyable generally throughout?
Not pleasant at all. Well, so it was in the evening, right? So I would work, accounting is a job where you sit, you know, so I would go, it was, I think from 6:30 to, let's say I got home at 10 at night and I would just pass out. I would sometimes like sit in the, I didn't have a bathtub at the time. So I would just sit in the shower, like, I'm so much pain. 'Cause it was so much harder. You're working all the muscles, you know, trying to spar with people. And, you know, and they really threw me in the ring right away. That gym was not, I don't recommend people do it the way I did it. I broke my nose. Like, I really got beat up by a lot of young gentlemen who are my friends now, but you know, because eventually I got better and like they were, I hope, respected it. And, but a lot of, you know, I would come home, I would just fall asleep at night. I didn't have any energy for anything else. And that was good though, right? Because I just wanted to like kind of change my life and be a little more focused. So, you know, I couldn't go out at night. I would just wake up in the morning and go to work, you know, tired, and just sit there till I would go again.
I mean, no wonder why you were tired if you're getting punched in the face, like, you know, till 10 in the evening for like every single day. That must have been intense. I've never broken a nose before. I've never been punched in the face.
Have you ever? That's actually the make or break of what I've had, you know, I've worked with women, men, anyone who's like, okay, you know, I want to try boxing. That's the make or break. Are you okay with being punched?
I mean, I heard that nose breaking is like a standard. It's like so common. It happens so often.
Yeah.
That you just got to, you know, brace yourself for it, basically.
It's like, it's part of the job.
Whoa.
So you're going to have it's called, you know, deviated septum. And it's just, it's part of the gig.
Have you ever gotten like surgery to get it treated and stuff?
When I'm done, there's surgery to open up the nasal passageways and, you know, like fix them because.
make breathing easier and stuff, right?
Yeah. Mine's not that bad
at
this point. 'Cause I rushed into boxing. It hasn't been that long. I've only been doing it 3 years now. And one of the years was COVID. So I wouldn't even count it.
Yeah.
So I just went all in. I went crazy, like, I'm gonna be a boxer now. And then the next year I made it to Olympic trials. Like,
I was gonna bring that up. I was gonna bring that up because it was like, you know, we're going from 1 week of like just going in the ring for the first time and then doing that for just a year, and then you're getting like Olympics are in the list and like championships, like all these like titles. It's just so impressive. And like,
yeah,
I don't, do you think you can tell, like you can tell or pinpoint where the transition was, or was it like a very gradual process of like, this is the milestone, this is the milestone, or was it just like, keep on going and see where it goes?
Well, I switched. So I went to the gym, and speaking of, you know, just negativity, my trainer there was very, you know, this is like being a female in the sport kind of thing. Mm. You know, he's getting a little weird and possessive, kind of like telling me I was bad at it to keep me there. I don't know how to describe this, really. Like, really hard on me if I would mess up. You're the worst boxer ever. And yeah. And I'm an adult, and I realized like, this isn't right. I can't.
Hell yeah. Really, but,
yeah, I had to like, so I switched trainers. I found him through a gym I walked into in Florida. He was on the wall, and Steve, my new trainer, was a world champion and Olympian, and I went and tried out for him. I was so nervous. It was like a level up, you know what I mean? Because I'd been told I was horrible. So so I was shaking, like I was so nervous. And he took me in. He doesn't even train amateurs usually, so he took me in and completely, you know, trained me. And he's the person who really got me there and told me, like, you know, no, you're good at this. He was always positive.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot of lessons from that guy, for sure, of, you know, that's not what boxing's supposed to be like for you too.
So are you still training with him nowadays to this date?
Once COVID hit, you know, everyone dispersed, just you know, financial reasons.
Yeah.
And you know, he had to take care of his family and his mom, and same with me. So I'm still working with him, in that he does train professionals and he has promotions. And so I would say we do still work together, but it's just different now. But, you know, close friend, like, just
Rona.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. No, our lives 180'd.
Has it literally changed a lot, just completely 180'd, basically, yes, since COVID hit?
Yeah, I was in a completely different space. I imagine you were too, you know. And
yeah, probably in a very different way from yours. Actually, like, for me, it was a very kind of almost like a coincidental incident, COVID, because at a similar date I decided to kind of do music was when kind of around the time when COVID started to do its thing to the world.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I,
cool.
Yeah. So like the moment I decided to be a musician, that was the start of my hermit days. You know, it's like room all day long, all night long, just in my room, no human contact. It's really, really unhealthy. I'm telling you, it's really bad.
No, I know. Yeah.
So yeah, it has changed a lot since COVID, but I'm not sure if it was because I made the decision to, you know, do this career change, or actually because of Corona, you know. But as opposed to you, it was more like, you know, you're doing the same thing, but Corona hit and things just changed completely, right?
Yeah. I was about to have my professional debut with my trainer.
Damn it.
And it was a nice one. Like, it's going to be televised in New York. And it changed everything. But, you know, a lot of same as you, in that I started my virtual personal training project. Like, I started a lot of cool things because of Corona and having to, you know, we all had this perspective of humanity and we're all going through this and we're losing people around us. I mean, I don't know about you, but in the boxing community, there are a lot of people who are older, and, you know, a lot of trainers that, you know, we were just losing people left and right. And, you know, so I just wanted, I think we all have matured and changed from it.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
And,
do you think and gotten gonna... Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
No, I think it just exposed, like, what do we really want to do with our life? Is short. What do we want to do with it?
Yeah. And it's, you know, life throws you things you didn't, just curveballs that you just never could see coming. Man, do you think you're gonna, when this corona, this whole pandemic ends, do you think you're still gonna pursue the professional debut though?
Yeah, I'm hoping to have it by the end of the year because things are kind of want, everyone's getting vaccine now. So I'm moving. I hopefully I'm lining up a team down there, and I have people in Florida. I have people all around now that, you know, I was branching out and working with during us being locked down. I've traveled and so I'm hoping to still have it. I just, at this point, I'm really determined to see it through. It's kind of like, I feel competitive with coronavirus.
Yeah, it's like, you don't have power over me.
Yeah, I will still.
Yeah, I think it has like brought this kind of very strange but warm grit in the human society, you know, like people are like, we're all in this together and we're gonna fight this thing. I don't know, at least in Korea we have a lot of like what is it called, the national commercials that, you know, the government makes and stuff, where it's you know, it's like empowering the society to get through this together. And it's actually the first like series of these kind of national commercials that I actually, that just makes me feel good, you know. Most of the time it's like usually smoking commercials that just kind of grosses you out, and it's like kind of very like very sensitive images and stuff. But like with coronavirus related commercials, it just makes you feel empowered, and you know makes me want to keep going and stuff, you know.
I can't say that our, this is getting really political, but I can't say our country like came together during this time, because there was, I mean, I'm sure you know, like there's a lot going on, you know?
Yeah, I saw.
But on a scale of, you know, our community and our family, you know, people did come together.
Yeah, I think politically it's kind of been treated differently depending on the countries, and you know, some people just don't agree, and some people, I just like, just put it bluntly, some countries just did terrible jobs at dealing with it initially, which was like the most important stage probably.
And I only, you know, see what I, again, like it's what the news shows us, but I actually, I mean, I saw that in Korea that everybody was like, I saw a lot of positivity coming from there, and that people were coming together, and to, you know, everybody kind of made the numbers go down and were allowed to then walk the streets. That was like a commercial we saw, or like a I don't know if I
really
saw it, you know, again, like I don't know where, you know, it's like what we are shown, you know, but
yeah, just subliminal stuff that you just see on the internet or like TV.
Yeah, like they're doing great, you're not. You know,
I mean, like Korea,
this country's open again.
And you're, look how you're doing shit. I mean, like, you know, it's, I think Korea actually was one of the countries that had the highest number of COVID cases initially, which was like, you know, like Korea was like on the second highest number in the entire world when in the initial stage of the pandemic, actually, where it made Korea actually like a prohibited country for traveling and stuff. So people are like, oh, don't go to Korea, don't go to South Korea, because like there's so many like COVID cases right now. And then like I think that's when the government started to take notice of it and like really started to, oh man, we gotta get this shit,
get on it.
yeah. really need to get it. So yeah, that's when they started to get like super duper like meticulous about tracking people. And you know, like I think I still do, but I muted it because it was happening so frequently throughout the day where they send like national texts to people. Like I think it pretty much applies to anybody who has a cell phone, but you basically get this like these national texts where it tells you where the current case of people diagnosed with COVID are going. So I don't know how they track these people, but you get live.
We have that too.
Really? It's like, I don't know.
How
do they... Yeah, it's kind of creepy. Like, how do they track these people? It's like they don't reveal their names, but they're, you know, obviously tracking, don't go to this restaurant because somebody just visited this with COVID, just visited this restaurant. I'm assuming that's probably going to be pretty bad for business as well. People who, you know, run restaurants and stuff.
Your phone's going off like, do not be here.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yeah, it's
that's
just...
I turned mine off, honestly.
Mine too. Yeah, I do take precautions, but man, it's just really just ringing all day long if I don't turn it off.
And I don't think, you know, maybe they were, I don't think it's accurate, or I don't know. It's also just creepy, the whole mix of it. I do take precautions, you know, the things that we're supposed to, I do what we're supposed to do. But if we do what we're supposed to do, we should be fine, right? Like, if we're wearing a mask, it shouldn't have mattered, hypothetically.
And I also never get out of the house. So I'm like a natural quarantine, like 24/7. So it's like, you know.
Yeah.
Working. I'm just in my house. Yeah.
That's what everybody is like still. And I see, you know, oh, we all have the vaccine and we're coming out of it. Everyone's still at home working. It's not the same, you know, people are not really going out at all. So.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's probably not going to be till the like late in the year that things are going to slowly start to open up again. Hopefully, fingers crossed that it does, at least by that date.
Would you hypothetically, if once thing you would have to travel a lot before or now, or would you still be working at home even if COVID didn't exist? That's what I'm asking.
You know, I think it's like it almost sometimes feels like I use COVID as an excuse to like stay at home, if you know what I mean. Like in a bad way, like, oh, it's COVID outside, so COVID health. So I'm just going to stay home. I'm just going to stay home because it's like dangerous or whatever, what outside. But I feel like when things open up, I'm no longer going to have that excuse. So it's like if I decide to stay at home all day long in a very unhealthy way, regardless of the fact that things opened up outside, then that's, you know, that's being unhealthy, border just downright unhealthy, you know. So I do want to be more active and outdoors and traveling more when things open up, for sure. I think,
well, I think we're all fit, you know, even children in school. I know children that just are still working on their laptop. I think we're faced with an interesting I don't know what you would call it, but you know, we're all working from home. We all really like, I mean, I like virtual personal training a lot. It's pretty, you know, I just have fun with I find a creativity in having to make videos for that. And I don't know, it fulfills my creative side somehow. So, but we're all faced with like, okay, now we all work from home. What are we going to do? Because, you know, what you said, it's not that healthy. Like, we do have to go outside.
I think that's the biggest challenge, because I actually don't mind creating it's in and of the act of creating itself. Like, you know, it, but it does involve a lot of sedentary activities, like, you know, just sitting down, editing, shooting, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, writing up a concept or brainstorming, emailing, all these stuff, just like you're just sitting down in your chair all day long. And yeah. unless you have, you know, the motivation and the grit and the, you know, desire or whatever excuse to get out of the house and do something, then, you know, you're just going to be doing work all day long in your room.
It's really hard to switch that button on to yeah. like, yes, I know how to do it, because even boxing is like stop and go. You sit forever. They check you in, like you're poked and prodded and physically evaluated, and then you fight. So you have to like turn it on.
Mm.
But my clients will, you know, be like, oh, I'm not like you. Like the fact that you work in an office or at home all day now, at home all day, and that you could even turn it on to have a workout, it's really hard. It's really hard to do the stop and go.
Yeah. I think especially it's difficult when you don't find exercise as a like a, as a happy drug. You know, for some people,
yeah.
people find joy and sometimes even like, you know, mental relaxation from working out and being physically active. But I think that takes a lot of working up to. So for people who are not naturally physically active and are not used to doing a lot of physical activity, that stuff is work, you know, it's extra work to do. And it
yeah.
takes a lot of willpower to get outside, jog, go out for a walk, all that stuff. So I think that in that case, it's a lot more challenging, I think.
Yeah, I work on this a lot with people, just, you know, them finding their thing, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it is that, you know, maybe it's weightlifting, maybe it's just going for a walk, maybe it's, you know, going, you know, to play a sport with their friends, you know, whatever it's, it really is, you have to find that thing that you feel comfortable doing that, you know, it does make you happy.
Yes. And
definitely like someone yelling at you. It's not going to help.
Probably not going to make you want to get out of the house more. Yeah. That's, I agree with that. Like, it, you got to really find that thing that mm-hmm. you can enjoy. I mean, even then, you're still going to probably have to drag yourself out of the house at times because you're just yeah. not used to moving as much. But yeah. I do think there's definitely that one kind of sport that people just find joy and willpower in, I think.
Yeah, or just motion, type of motion. Like, you know, I have people, they just like rowing. They have a rower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, or, you know, just, or even, you know, just that you're the thing you're okay with, that you, and it kind of actually, it starts there. That's like the seed. You know, just, you know, to not talk about other people, talk about myself. I'll put it in context of myself. Mine was running. I was always just okay with running. Like I can get through it. And it started there. And then I wanted to try, like, I do so much stuff that I actually don't like, you know, surrounding the boxing. Like, I don't want to, you know, weightlifting. I don't love weightlifting, you know, but I know I love boxing. So
you kind of have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So like one, it kind of is like a seed that, you know, and then like one thing leads to another. It's like choosing to try to find it. You have to like go through all the things you don't like to find the thing you like.
Oh yeah, for sure. I yeah. think,
is it anything in life, right?
This is very philosophical also.
Yeah, I'm getting
getting all like life. For me, I think it was also like finding little hints from my daily life that I think might be a, you know, a little like gateway into finding something that I might actually been personally learning modern contemporary dance. I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible, honestly. Like, you gotta see the face of the dance instructors. You gotta see his expression when I just really messed up the routine, and it's like first 5 seconds. But I'm enjoying a lot. But the actual reason that I started learning contemporary dance wasn't actually because I wanted to learn dancing, but was actually because I found myself like strangely enjoying like balancing myself, you know, like mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a weird habit, but when I get out of the shower, the first thing that I do is wear my socks. I don't know why, but it's like the first thing that I wear.
That's the first thing you put on.
That's the first thing. So like I get out of the shower and I take one sock, and while I'm wearing and like putting in the one sock in my foot, I like balancing on my one leg. You know, like
I know what you mean.
You know, like it feels very like, you know, like it's like I feel like my body's like, oh yes, I'm balancing, you know? And I do the same thing with the other foot, and like I balance myself while I do that. And it's like a little like therapy after a shower, you know? And I don't know how that led me, what the thought process was that led me to want to learn contemporary dance from wearing socks after the shower. But, you know,
that's how it goes.
Yeah. It's like finding hints, and that's how I started learning. And and it's like you said, with like, you hate weightlifting, but you kind of have to do it because you love boxing. It's kind of the same thing for me with contemporary dance, where they make you stretch and they make you do like little like planks before, you know, as a warm-up, you know, and I hate those kind of stuff, but it makes me want to get better at these things because it means I can probably control my body better while I'm dancing, you know?
Yes.
Planks are my worst fears nowadays. Really difficult. I can't hold on for more than 20 seconds, I think, max.
There are endless types of planks too. There are so many types.
I think I'm doing it all wrong as well. My back hurts, and they say your back is not supposed to hurt while you're planking.
A lot of people when they're first, I see this a lot actually, when they're first starting, they're trying to pull. So it's all about the muscles that you pull from, if that makes sense. You know, you're doing it, you're like, oh, this is hard. The muscles that you're flexing to keep you in that position are, you know, you want to put the stress on your abs, you know, your shoulders are involved in there. So that takes shoulder stabilization. Mm. And a lot of people are really using their lower backs a lot.
You keep up.
Versus like drawing in your core, like, you know, they're not trainers, right? So like the next time you do it, flex your abs just automatically. Okay. Anytime you do, they make you do a core exercise. It's called you pre-brace your abs. So try it.
Okay.
And I hope it works. It should work.
I do it today, actually. I do it today.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't looking forward to it, but I have the tip from you. So I'm going to try it out. I'm going to
put that before you. Yeah, when you're about to do it, pre-brace your abs.
So how does the pre-brace work? Oh, did you hear that? I just heard a beep.
Yeah, I heard it.
This is fine.
It works because you're drawing in your abs. So you're kind of signaling to your body like, okay, we're going to use these muscles. We're not going to use these other ones
to keep
us up. We're using our abs, because like I'm telling you basically to mentally use those if you automatically use. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So how does it, like, is it like a mindset thing or like an actual physical thing where you like you're flexing your core right before you do your core exercise?
It's mental.
Oh, right.
Well, it's both like in the bigger sense with people, and they have muscle imbalances. So maybe you're stronger in one area and weaker in another. But it's mental too, just knowing where to pull your strength from, if that makes sense. So maybe you're pulling from the muscles in your back, maybe, which you really shouldn't be. I see a lot of people when they get into core work, though, have a lot of lower back pain. Some of it could be, you're getting used to it. It depends what kind of pain. But try that pre-bracing. It does help a lot.
Okay, I do it today, so
Yeah, I want to know. Let me know.
I'm gonna be thinking about that tip like right before, because I literally get so scared prior to doing a plank.
Because now you're stressed about them because,
I'm not really stressed, but it's just like, I want to do better, you know? It's like the dance instructor just like, 1 minute, hold on, and I really want to hold on, you know? And I think that's it. Like, I think that's the indicator that I am enjoying this sport, because like I want to get better. I want to hold on. Whereas other
That's cool.
exercises that I don't like and have not enjoyed as much, it's like I want to give up, you know?
Yeah. And you will get better at it. And you'll get all these tips from me and your instructors. It's just showing up and doing it. Like, you probably can do it for longer now than you could when you first started.
I think a
Like,
few seconds, actually, by a few seconds. So yeah, first
yeah,
it was like
it adds
5 seconds.
up. Yeah. I don't think, I think at one point I could not plank for a minute. And now, it's easier for I do it all the time. So but it adds up. You'll look back like a year later and like you're
How
like,
long
wow, that's
do it for
crazy.
now? How long can you do it for?
That's a good question. I've never met a few minutes probably. I've never maxed
Oh,
out.
I would
I've
die.
never
I would literally die trying to do plank for a few more than a minute.
I mean, I'm sure I've got like 2, 3 minutes in me. I've never maxed. I want to max. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to max it out to see how long I
Yeah.
can go.
Please flex it on me, and so that I can like motivate myself. I'm gonna be able to hold
You
on
can.
as much as Melody can.
Think about it though, really. It's a full body, because you're using your shoulders to hold yourself up. And I could say, like, it's all you're using your entire body to hold yourself up. And that if you're like, oh, my shoulders are burning, that's, maybe pull more from your abs, maybe pull more from your glutes. It really is strengthening and stabilizing all those muscles. So it's a good exercise to be doing, especially for dance.
I think that's such a good tip, because that pre-brace concept, because I think so many of the people who start exercising, especially alone in their homes, there's so many like home gym videos nowadays on YouTube that you can easily, get a yoga mat or something and then just, follow the
Go
instructors,
for it.
on online. But I think the problem with those is that they don't give you these kind of like pre-brace tips that you just gave. They just do the positions and they're like, follow me, do the same position that I'm doing. But they don't really know what it is doing to each of their muscles. They don't really know, give at least the people that I watched, they don't give context to what muscle that we're working out right now doing this position. And
Does your butt get really high when you do them too?
oh yeah, like I want it to get higher because it, hurts my back
It's
low, less. And then
yeah,
like the
try
dance
that
instructor
out.
just pushes my butt a little bit, and then it just like,
I do that too. That's why I go around like bopping everyone like
I
down, down, down.
hate it when my turn comes up. I hate it. But man, it has to come.
Yeah, gotta, you'll notice a difference in your dancing. And that's cool, though. I love hearing stories like that of people who have found their thing or are on this new fitness path. It's like every personal trainer, I don't know, it makes me really happy when
really?
I hear stuff like that.
It makes me happy to hear that you're happy about it, because it's like, I still have a lot of insecurities when it comes to workouts, you know, like, you know, yeah. I'm insecure that I don't have the abs, I don't have the glutes, like, I hate my puny arms, you know, and you know, it's one of those things where you're like, if you're not in shape, then you almost don't deserve to like work out. And that's so wrong, you know, when you
opposite.
Get
it.
But yeah. Like when you have a lot of insecurities with your body, it also really messes up your mentality with not just dieting, but also like with exercise as well. Like you almost feel like you are not deserving of being able to do these exercises. And that's really like depressing. But
I know. I really dislike that. So like my virtual personal training, like everything that I put out there, because I am tall and pretty awkward, you know, and I definitely awkward growing up. And, you know, I would hate to be the person that puts that message out there. I want everyone to come to the party, you know, like I'd be really upset if I found out I made someone feel bad, because I know what it's like to feel bad, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's needed in the fitness industry. There's so much like flexing, not flexing muscles, but flexing, like, look what I can do.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I got some big ass abs, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not abs. This is guns. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of flexing going on. Yeah. Yeah. I see that for sure.
I deal with this a lot in that, to, you know, do I have to look a certain way to be a personal trainer? Cause it is true that the personal trainers who have that rack of abs or have that, you know, are, you know, a certain body type, they sell more. You know, and I don't know, I'm really hype. I don't know what to call it. Like, I'm really aggressive about, you know, I'm going to be myself, but I guess I look really athletic anyway. So I don't know.
You do. Like, you do. Like, from my perspective, you do, but I think it's different. Yeah. One's own point of view of oneself can be a lot different from how others view you, you know?
Yeah.
So
and, I mean, I've had people, I couldn't, when I went to my new gym, when I switched trainers, there were more females in the gym and I couldn't, you know, coming in, you know, I was bigger than them. I couldn't figure out, I was like, why does no one talk to me? And later they said, like, you're really intimidating.
Oh.
And I hated that. I was like, I'm not though. I'm a really nice person, you know?
Yeah.
I think
actually that's, and I'm not being sexist or anything, but I have found this trait more so amongst women than men. But I think there's this compassionate, like, empathy element when it comes to women. And I think that's something that I would love to see more in the exercise community and the kind of fitness community. You know, like, I feel like having talked to you for just an hour, I feel like I would feel much more at ease and more comfortable doing an hour of workout, one-on-one, you know, personal training workout with you than, you know, like the guy who was screaming at me for an hour, you know. It's like, I think we need that kind of soft power, if you will, that power of understanding, of being empathetic, and, you know, like, encouragement, just, you know, not necessarily just positivity as in like, oh, happy go lucky, you know, like, this is all good.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a fine line. You have to push people out of their wheelhouse if they're going to be uncomfortable. But you know, to overwhelm someone or make them feel bad for being there is the worst thing you could do. It's just, in so many ways, it's perpetuating stereotypes about the fitness industry. It's making the person who was there for a positive to change and to be positive, you know, they maybe didn't after that, you know? So yeah, I don't like to hear stories like that about that guy.
I quit. So, you know, it's a
case in point. Boom. Yeah. But you found your thing later. So
yeah,
it's a happy ending.
That's the plank thing. I'm definitely going to like brace myself for it today and like really flex them core muscles.
And that's anything core they make you do. There's a lot of, like, if they make you do lunges, that's another one, actually, if you pre-brace your core, because you're, so you don't wobble all over, just brace that and you get less wobbling. It makes lunges easier, I think, believe it or not.
And I think that's what contributes to a lot of the balancing and in the dancing, I think, because the core is literally the core, I'm assuming. So it's like, you know, that's what grounds you and keeps you balanced. Exactly. So yeah, I want to like get them cores running up and getting better.
And I mean, think, what are the biggest muscles, you know, your hamstrings, core include, you know, your hamstrings, your glutes, your quads.
I thought they were just the stomach.
No, I would call core your abs. I would call the whole enchilada, I would call that core work.
Oh, right. So like the lower, kind of lower half of the body, basically.
Yeah.
Ah.
Maybe, you know, that's an opinion, but if I were making someone like glute bridges is a common core work exercise, but that's for your hamstrings and your glutes. Like, I would consider just, you know, I think that's why it's called the core, because it is your core. It's the largest muscles.
That's true. I think I thought of it more as like the literal pin, like the point of the core, which is the
abs.
Yeah. I was going to say belly button, but I feel like that's a bit too much of a small area to call it a core.
Just your belly button.
Just the belly button muscle. Melly, this was such a feel good conversation. Honestly, I feel like I'm fired up just from talking to you today.
Good. Like, I hope it works. Oh, I hope it helps you with your playing.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it. And you know, I think it's just your story in general. It's really inspiring. And you know,
thanks.
I think it just makes people wanna just get better and, you know, start wherever they are, you know?
Good. I would hope that that would, you know, I want to convey that message to people.
Yeah, I think you do. You do.
Yeah.
It's really inspiring.
Yeah.
And thank you.
No problem. And if you have any more questions about your exercises, message me. I'm glad to help.
I will.
I will. Let me know. I'm curious. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Melody.
No problem. It was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Talk soon again. Keep in touch.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.